I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm award-winning singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli, founder of the electronic rock band Midnight Soundtrack.
This week, we're honored to welcome Judy Stakey to the show. Judy is the founder of the Judy Stakey Company, a full-service artist development and entertainment company that develops the minds, bodies, and souls of artists and songwriters to achieve their career of their dreams. As Senior VP of Creative at Warner Chappell Music for 20 years, Judy signed and worked with artists such as Sheryl Crow, Michelle Branch, and Gavin DeGraw.
Judy has recently released a book, The Songwriter Survival Guide, where she shares her trade secrets and teaches you how to handle meetings with music executives confidently. Achieve a creative and financially rewarding co-write, and even discover how to be the CEO of your own company. We're looking forward to learning from Judy's years of experience in the industry, so let's get started. Hey, Judy.
Hi, hey. Guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, geez, the pleasure is all ours. Thanks for coming on.
Welcome.
So let's start this out by having you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
That everyone should know.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hopefully things that maybe people don't know.
Oh, people that, should know but don't know. Okay. I gave up my dream to go to Broadway and become a star and went into publishing instead. My career in publishing. So that's one. Two is that, I'm a huge dog lover. Oh my God, I am a huge dog lover. I have two amazing dogs, and I get up very early in the morning every morning and hike with them, and at the end of the evening, and they're my loves. Something that probably people don't really know about me that should is that I believe that some lineage in some lifetime, I come from a great stock of trees.
Nice.
There is tree energy in me of such grounding and such, such grounding that I can feel it sometimes. So just a little tidbit.
You and I are going to get along very well.
Cool.
So before we dive into sort of learning more about you and the advice you're going to offer, I want to share a quick story about how we are connected. We are connected through Phil Palin, who is awesome. Phil and I connected because we both did an interview with Jan Ilunga, who's also awesome. And then we found out that, you know, we had a mutual friend. So I worked with Tyler Hilton, and Phil worked with you, and you worked with Tyler Hilton.
Tyler Hilton, right.
Yeah. So was it you got Tyler Hilton signed initially to Warner Chappell, is that right?
It's Warner Chappell.
Chappell.
I didn't sign
him. He's
there.
Scottish, so we'll let him get away with the mispronunciation.
It's been called worse, believe me. Tyler was signed to Maverick Records. And
right.
Through Maverick Records, we had an overall publishing deal with the record company because they were through Warner Brothers. So Tyler was part of that deal. I didn't sign him technically, but when he came through that deal, he was put under my charge. So I became his day-to-day, his song, his publisher.
Yeah. Oh, lucky yeah. Tyler.
Oh my God, we had an amazing run together. Great, great guy to work with. Just fantastic. Oh, yeah. A wonderful songwriter. So.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
It's just awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're responsible for signing quite a lot of artists that have achieved a lot of success.
Yes.
What do you look for in an artist? And what do you think separates those who succeed versus those who don't?
Well, what I look for is basically someone who I just am enamored with, that I can't get enough of, that I just immediately fall in love with. There is a part of this that's a je ne sais quoi, that you can't put a finger on it, but you know when a star walks through the room. You know somebody who's got energy that excites people, that communicates well. So that's what I look. I look for the star quality, and then what makes or breaks them is their self-motivation, is their A student mentality, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard. I mean, no matter what we do, everything is hard work these days. You know, sometimes getting to the post office at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is just the hardest work sometimes in the world. but we have to get over that. And so it's, if you want a career, you can have really any kind of career you want. I mean, there are no boundaries these days. There's no limitations. It used to be that you had to go to a music, the music business. There was a place that you had to go to make records, you know, to have somebody sell your records to somebody. That's not true these days. You know, there's so many other avenues. So you can actually create whatever you want to create. Nothing is stopping you but you. And that's the secret ingredient.
It also allows a bit of saturation, though, which Ross and I, we discussed quite a bit on the show. It's the double-edged sword. So you have, like, we're able, as a singer-songwriter myself, I'm able to release music as an independent artist, mm-hmm. but there's also so much saturation. Sometimes it's hard to break through that noise. So in a way, it forces you to be, you have to be exceptional. You have to stand out. You know, I prefer to stand out by trying to work on my craft. You know, that's what I would suggest to people, and just get better and better. Other people mm-hmm. try to be gimmicky, teach their own.
absolutely.
You know, so you do have that a little bit of, you get the good with the bad with the good sometimes.
I totally agree. And God bless the ones that are gimmicky and they make it. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to me. But there's always those. I mean, the Macarena was, you know, a gimmick and it went through. I mean, you know, so.
I was hoping to forget that.
I could have gone all day. But for most people, it's, you know, what I teach is the main thing is, how do you tell a story? How do you tell your stories? Which words do you use? How do you put them together? How do you tell a story in 4 minutes and 200 words that's going to move somebody to buy your record, to buy that song, to listen to you again?
Honesty.
And that's the key. The key is that. But so what I have found, and this is the this is part of my passion in my work, is that we are taught words, and we are taught melodies, and we are taught, you know, we have a voice, but most people don't really know how to put them together and really tell stories. For some people, there is I think Tyler kind of came out of the womb like that. You know, Tyler gets up on stage and it's just, I can't wait to see him in concert, because he tells so many great stories, and you never know what he's going to say next, and he's just so charming.
I can vouch for that.
Yes, he's charming.
it's just natural. Yeah. But, you know, somebody else, some other kid, same age, all that, could have the same amount of talent. But if they don't know how to tell their story and how to get up on stage and how to go into a meeting and how to, you know, ask for what you need and how to negotiate and do all those things, and which you have to do nowadays. You have always had to do them. But like I said before, there was more emphasis put on having somebody else do it for you. And nowadays, you have to take care of those things yourself. So I think that's the development, is how do I grow this being of mine, so that I'm not only can I sing and perform on stage and attract an audience and grant fans, but that I can also lead my life and have a meeting and know how to, you know, I have to hire employees. You know, you have to hire a business manager. You have to lead these people. You have to lead your life. And if you're not sure how to do that, that's, I think, where the block, the rub comes in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So what made you start your company? Tell us maybe a little bit about what you've achieved so far and what you plan to achieve going forward.
What I achieved by being in the music industry as long as I did was an amazing education. I mean, I had free rein. I'll say my wingspan for what I needed to do was like huge. There was, you know, I had fields to fly in. But as the, you know, the business not only changed in the mid-2000s, you know, but our whole world did. 9/11 caught up with us. The internet was all grown up. You know, the financial institutions changed in every single aspect of our industry, just by the internet growing up from, you know, having to be responsible. You know, you used to give somebody a loan and you could just fudge the papers. You couldn't do that anymore. So the financial aspect took over the industry, and Warner Chappell, just like everybody else, you know, the doors were closed to the castle, and it was like, sorry, there's not enough, no more money's coming in, and we're not, you know, if there's no more money coming in right now, we're not, you know, spending anything. So things, you know, employees were gone, budgets were slashed, and, you know, and the you know, the castle walls were closed, and so my wings were clipped, and it is very hard to do what I do when I do not have the wingspan to be able to develop. And when you are in the throes of development, you're in kindergarten. Even though you could be, I could have a client that's on their fifth record, okay, and successful, you still have to go back to that sixth record to kindergarten to, okay, what am I going to do this time? And what is it going to look like? And what do I want to say? And you have to go back to that sandbox. That is time-consuming, a little messy, you know, a little tedious. I mean, there's so many things that is. And sometimes it you know, it can be fast and glorious and wonderful. But that's the part that most of the business does not want to pay for. They don't want to pay for that. Oh, it's going to take a couple of years, and I've got to spend about $75,000 before we even see anything. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, wait a minute, how do we get that back? And as record sales declined, you know, and not as much money was coming in, it was harder to get that $75,000, $100,000 that you put into a developing artist. So I just saw the writing on the wall that it became a little too much business, which is fantastic, because I think that the business now, the business is so well run, in that, you know, with the invention of the internet, the integration of the internet, we're able to do things that we've never been able to do. You know, I mean, if you have a single that's, you know, that's an amazing, you know, it's a huge hit, you could sell a million downloads overnight. You can reach the world. The things that you can build once you have the product is fantastic. The collection and the royalties and the branding and the marketing and so forth. But if you don't have the content, You don't get, why pay for all that? You know, you don't get to have that marketing. You don't get to have all that stuff until you develop. That hasn't changed. I mean, my job has always been, you know, before we go in and produce this, let's get the songs right. Before we go in and do a photo shoot, let's get the songs right. How do we know what the photo shoot's going to look like? If it could be a little harder, it could be a little softer, it could be more ballads, it could be all up tempos. I mean, we don't know. You've got to go with the song first.
So it all starts with the music.
Yeah. So I left knowing that I really wanted to finally work for myself, and that I have a clear vision on what needs to happen and what the writers need to learn and what information I need to give them. And it has been an amazing ride. I've taught more than like 30 some workshops in the last six years. Just spreading the word of giving writers a foundational structure that they can actually build a career on. Because one of the things is, if you're going to be an architect or a doctor, there's a program. You have to go to 4 more years of school. Here are the classes. This is what you're going to have to know. But as a songwriter, you can show up on a doorstep and go, I play the guitar, I write in my journal, and I sing. Come on, I'm a star. You know. So there's never been like a cohesive language between that we can go, oh, now I understand. So that's what I've created. My methodology is basically a language that becomes a structure that we can now build a creative process, and you can develop yourself and your art.
And all that has kind of led to you writing the Songwriter Survival Guide, which it kind of makes sense that you didn't eventually write that, I think. I'd like to know just a little bit about why you wrote the book and what you expect from it.
You'll love this one.
Oh, sorry. What people can expect from it. Not you. You know what to expect from it.
I wrote the book because Phil, Phil Palin, who we mentioned, who is an amazing, most brilliant brand and marketing specialist, is my consultant. And we were talking one day, and he said, "Oh, I've got a great idea. I want you to write 10 steps on how to become a songwriter or an artist. And we'll put great graphics, and we'll sell it for $1.99, and we'll get stuff out there for you." I went, "Okay, all right, not a problem." So I sat down and, 10 steps to being a songwriter. And it was like, okay. And I it's been like a week or two, just, gathering some thoughts. And through a series of events that my husband had a few accidents last year. And so I every time I started to get out of the house, I kind of was forced back to stay close to home, which meant that I had a lot more time on my hands, and this 10-page book became, 120-page book. So what started out as, like I said, it was just a giveaway kind of a thing to get it out there, became much more to me. I mean, it just spilled out, and I'm so proud of it. I wrote it, my target audience is the 16-year-old kid that says to their parent, "I want to be a songwriter. I want to be an artist. I want to have a career in music." And for the parents whose kids come to them and say, "I want to be a songwriter or an artist," who have no idea what to tell them. So this is 12 steps of things that you just need to put in place. There's going to be many other books to come about other things, but this is foundational. This is, if you're going to write a song, then you're going to be using your voice, your melodies, and your lyrics. So if you're using your voice, melody, and lyrics, then you're going to have to take care of your voice. You're going to have to take care of your words. You're going to have to write in a journal. You're going to have to learn new words. You're going to have to know how words are put together. You're going to have to, learn melodies. That means, instruments, learning an instrument, if that helps. Singing helps. Knowing your own soul, whether you're happy, whether you're sad. So that all ties in. And I give examples, and I take you through the processes through this book. But like I said, if you're going to write a song, those are three foundational things you're going to need for the rest of your life. I mean, I can't tell you how many artists I've talked to have said, "So what do you do for your voice? How do you keep it in shape?" It's like, "Well, when I go on tour, it's fantastic because I'm singing every day." And I'm like, "And for the 9 months that you're not on tour this year, what are you going to do?" So it's putting something in play every single day. Because it's not something we just sing with, but we also order hamburgers with it, and we take meetings with it, and we ask girls out with it.
I'm so glad you're doing that, because I don't want to sound like a grandpa here and rag on young kids these days. I'm not going to go there. But you do see, I guess when I was younger, people, when you would talk to your friends, what do you want to be? I always said I wanted to be in a band, or I wanted to be a singer-songwriter, always, ever since I was a kid. And other people I knew wanted to do, whether it was an, "I want to be an astronaut, I want to be an actor." And you do hear nowadays, I can't help it, guys. I sound like such a out of touch. But really, what do you want to be? Famous. Uh-huh. It's like, no, there's no desire to have skill anymore or talent, for the most part. Obviously, there's always exceptions. And, I think it comes down to, 20 years ago, you had to have some sort of talent or skill, or even like going back to the days of Nirvana, you had to have something special about you, right? But now you just have to do something stupid to get famous, or you have to be rich, like a Kardashian.
It's our culture.
I honestly give such kudos to you for writing this, because I would truly recommend it to anyone. I want to read it myself, just because I think, even though you're gearing towards a young person, I think there's always something to take from it. But also, I think that we'll definitely be recommending this, because I strongly think that this is the route to go. Develop your craft, be the best you can be, and constantly grow, because that's what's going to last. Fame is so fleeting, especially in the world that we live in today. Yeah.
I give, after every chapter, a story, a true story about one of my artists that pertains to the subject of the chapter. Tyler's in here, of course. And it's really interesting, because it's, All of these songwriters started as no one, I mean, a wonderful story in here is Julian Bonetta, who I signed at 18 years old. I'd known Julian since he was a little kid, because I knew his dad. But he had gone to 1 year at Berkeley and was kind of bored, because He'd been producing demos and writing tracks, but he'd not been writing songs. And I signed him to a publishing deal and taught him what I needed to know and taught him what he needed to know and put him in with some great other writers and took him to some summer camps and so forth. And he's producing and writing all of One Direction, all of Simon Cowell's company. I mean, we're talking Fifth Harmony and Leona Lewis and the whole bit. I mean, that's Julian. I'm very proud that my writers have wonderful careers and families and, their longevity. Longevity, that it's not just a flash in the pan.
That's the word. Well, thank you for encouraging the development of artists.
You're welcome.
So beyond all these other things you're doing, you also do a door-to-door series on YouTube.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is, yes. I'd just like to know, very quickly, what is your least favorite word to use in a song?
Destiny. Destiny.
Don't say that. One of my new favorite songs I've written is called Destiny.
Is it really?
But it's a good one. It's a really good song. I promise you. Please, my producer's in love with it.
Please prove me wrong. Please.
I will prove you wrong with this, and I will send this to you, and you're going to be like, okay, I changed my mind.
It's interesting, but, I was a song plugger. I started song plugging, early 80s. Well, there was a cheese factor amount, and there was all, so songwriters were coming up with this, like, you are my destiny.
No.
It got to be too much.
No, this song is talking about, it kind of, just as a quick little bit, it talks about just, it's speaking to life and what life throws at you and the unexpectedness and coming to terms with that. So it's a bit more spiritual and philosophical than that.
Fantastic. Send it to me.
Yeah. I'm worried, but I'm excited. give it a few months. I'll have it for you.
There you go.
That's too funny. Sorry. That's good. Okay. So moving on from the destiny.
So you didn't know that question. You didn't know the answer to that?
No, I definitely did not know the answer to that.
Funny. That's so wild. Okay.
That's hilarious.
All right.
What is, besides not using the word destiny, except for me, I can get away with it. What is the one piece of advice that you wish you had been given when you first started your career in the music industry?
Hire a business manager.
Interesting. Early on. Really?
Hire a business manager early on. Yeah. I really wish that I'm great with money, I'm great with savings and all that, but I would have loved some financial advice on how to prepare and what to do. And like I said, I'm fine, but it would have helped. Yeah. One of those things that I would have loved. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes
and
sense.
The thing is that, in following up to that, to make it more general, and again, I was very fortunate, but looking back, I would have been much more conscious and much more intentional about it, is to put mentors in place, to put guides and mentors in place that were, that would be guiding me in my career. As I wish I had me, as I do in other people's.
I like that.
It's like the same thing. It's like having a business manager who would have sat down and said, okay, so you got a bonus this year. Let's see what we can do with it. Let's see, let me tell you like other things. I kind of did it on my, I have one now, but if I'd gotten one earlier, who knows?
Judy, are you ready for 20 questions?
I am. And I purposely did not watch this so that I would be, so they'd be,
Okay, cool. Oh,
yeah.
Do you want to start this one off for us?
I'll kick this one off. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Good.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Yeah, you're with me on that one. Yeah. TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yoga. Yoga. Though,
yes, you and I are kindred spirits. I'm just saying.
On the Today Show, I have to tell you really fast. They took Greek yogurt and they put it on a baking sheet and sprinkled like nuts and strawberries and put it in the freezer. And then it became like yogurt chips. I'm dying to try that.
That's interesting.
Good, but not yogurt. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Talent or attitude?
Attitude.
Interesting answer. You surprise me sometimes. I like that.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Oh, Friends.
Sorry, we're like throwing it back to like 20 years ago because we're stuck in the 90s.
And I'm just watching Seinfeld for the first time ever.
Can you believe that?
That's crazy. Great.
Under my request.
They look so young. So young.
You don't realize it until now.
Yeah.
So which one is it, Friends?
Friends.
Cool.
Friends. Yeah.
Okay, this is a tough one, but Lennon or McCartney? Sorry.
Probably Lennon.
Really? Probably
Lennon. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, coming back to the attitude, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you can have the most talented person in the world, and if they don't have a great attitude, it's like, who cares?
Agreed.
No, it's like, there's so many singers out there, you know, they are. There's like, everybody can, you can develop, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That talent, I mean, attitude. Whew.
Agreed, wholeheartedly.
The Voice or American Idol?
The Voice. The yeah. Voice, yeah.
Was the roll of the eyes kind of like to neither?
Well, you know, no, because I love both of them.
Oh, okay.
I think they've both been fantastic. I think that yeah. they have afforded opportunities and really shown you know, writers and artists how to do this. And it's just, I think it's wonderful. I really do. Yeah. I mean, you have to understand that when it said all those kids that go to Hollywood Week for Voice or American Idol, the 100 of them that go each, they may not get, you know, on, you know, the whole, you know, top 10 and all. But the education that they give them, I mean, they probably each get like a $25,000 worth of choreography and styling and how to use social media, because they take 100 of them at it, you know, to Hollywood, and then they dwindle it down. But those kids get a really great chance. I think that's wonderful. I mean, that's it's a big gift they're given.
Education or experience?
Oh boy, I don't know if I could. I think it's really 50-50.
We stumped the master.
Yeah, I think it's both. But the experience is probably where you could learn also. So experience maybe a little bit over.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan or Bob Marley?
Bob Dylan.
Indie or major?
Probably indie.
Yeah, I knew you had that in you.
Yeah. So if I had, you know, if I have a major act, if I have somebody that is a Britney Spears or a Josh Groban, I would so be major.
Oh, of course. You
know? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I think it depends on the act. Mm-hmm.
Simon or Garfunkel?
Simon. Absolutely, Paul Simon. Yeah.
Style? Grace? Sorry, what's that?
Graceland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Style or substance?
Substance.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
God. Okay. Personally, I listen to Michael Jackson a lot more. But no. On the other hand, personally, I know Michael Bolton and was his music publisher for a dozen years. So
This is important. This is important. One of our goals for the show is to get Michael Bolton on the show. And we did not know that you have a relation to Michael Bolton.
I was just, I didn't sign him at Warner Chappell, but I became his product manager.
Well, maybe you will be able to help us get Michael Bolton on. We have been talking about Michael Bolton for the last year, every single episode.
Every single episode.
We want to get him on the show.
He's a great songwriter. He really is. He's a great songwriter. And some of those songs were just amazing. Yeah. So personally, Michael Bolton, like personally. Yes.
So. I'm so happy. You've made my week.
He's lovely.
Of course.
Oh, no, I've got no doubt about that.
Oh, no. And he seems to have a good humor about his past and be able to laugh at himself. So that's really good.
Love Michael Bolton.
All right. Cool. We'll talk about that now.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Probably Celine Dion.
Great voice, right?
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais?
Ricky Gervais.
Or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, he's so awesome. So funny. Yeah.
Now, don't try to make sense out of this next one, but just whatever comes to mind. Whale or kale? They rhyme. That's really the only thing.
Yeah.
We're asking you that.
That's our logic.
Yeah, right.
That's our logic.
Right. Well, probably kale, because I don't want to. I like looking at whales.
Yes.
Like, yeah, because, yeah.
Yeah, kale, right?
The new lettuce, of course.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler. Oh, Bette Midler. Love her.
Of course.
Yeah.
And finally, last question, just to make all our guests feel awkward at the end of the interview, it is Ross or Marcio? I'm sorry.
Oh, I can't do that. It's not fair. Well,
can I argue my point? I've never used the word destiny in a song.
Okay, and you do know Tyler Hilton, so I'm going to have to go with
and
Bob.
I know Tyler Hilton. Wait, I know Tyler Hilton. I was going to have arguments on my side. I didn't have a chance.
Our connection.
And I'm a songwriter too, and who knows what the future holds for us, you know? But fine, you already chose.
The destiny thing was the one that did it. Yeah.
Wait till you hear the song, and you might change your mind about it. It'll be the one exception.
So everyone can check you out at JUDYSTAK2EES.com. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for Twitter and Facebook, although Facebook has a CO at the end.
Yes, because it's my company page. So you
perfect.
Can like
makes sense.
Yeah.
Perfect. So everyone should definitely check you out on there. You do like Twitter the most, so like her on Facebook, but follow her on Twitter as well. And when you do like her on Facebook, I'm going to point out, and this is for all of us, make sure you don't just like the page, but you click get notifications. This is important, or else people don't tend to see all of your posts. So hopefully everyone does that for you.
Great suggestion.
Yes. And as for me, I'm writing for my next solo album, and I've just recently released my electronic side project, Midnight Soundtrack's debut album, Foreplay.
Hey.
You can hear my music on marcinavelli.com. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, all those different places, and it's all / Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various arts at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog posts at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton Presents. Find out more about what our good friend Chris does and how he can help you at chriskeaton.com.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
Judy, this has just been awesome.
Thanks,
guys. You're a good soul.
Thank you.
I get a really good energy from you.
Yeah. All through Skype. Isn't it great?
Absolutely.
All
through Skype. It comes through. There's a synergy there.
I know.
Please do come back, all right?
You got it. Not a problem.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.